there are those of my family who still come before me asking me, requesting me to give them more. Give me more of this, more of that, more of the other. I have already placed myself within you, says the Lord God Almighty. All that you need is already present. My anointing is upon you as a believer. My power is within you as I dwell in you. And I have called you to rise to a new level to overcome greater devils. And I have placed within you all that you need, but you must begin to walk in me, says the Lord, that I can be free in you. For you're still trying to do these things by your own understanding instead of my understanding, says God. You're trying to accomplish them through the works of the flesh instead of by the power of my grace. For my grace is greater than your works. For your works cannot accomplish what my grace has already given to you. Therefore, you must learn to walk in my grace, to humble yourself before me, says the Lord, that I can fill you up to overflowing. And when you walk in me, my overflow will begin to run through you. And it will cause overflow in every area of your life, but it will first overflow you. For I am the greater one. I am the one who has all things. I am Jehovah Jireh. And I have placed myself by my choice within you, declares God. So don't look and say, well, who's going to do this and where's God going to come from and who, when is this going to occur? For it is already within you, for I dwell in you, declares God. And when you look to me, when you draw upon my spirit, says God, the overflow becomes a natural way of living. For you are no longer living out of your resources, but you're living out of my resources. And I am the more abundant one, declares Jesus. For I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly than what you can produce by your own efforts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So step into my overflow. Step into that areas, those areas that I have already provided for you. For your provision is there. But you must go there to get the provision. For I've prepared it for you. It's not where you're at. It's where I've called you to go. It is the there that I've set before you. And as you go there, you will find the provisions that you need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, Father. Don't be afraid to go there. Don't be afraid to go into those areas that I've called you into. For again, there is the provision. And what keeps you out of my provision is the fear of the things of this world, that you will not receive that which I've said. But if you go there, there is the provision. If you break through the fear, there is all that you need. For I am there, for I go before you, says the Lord. I'm with you, but I also go before you, because I am drawing you up to a higher level and a higher way of living. And there will be many who will say, no, I'm content where I am. I don't need the more. Why do you fight me, says God? Why do you fight my goodness? Why do you fight and struggle against my mercy? and against all the bounty that I have for you, why do you struggle? It's because you don't trust me. You trust me to go to heaven, but I've asked you to trust me with your life, with all that you have. For if you will give up those natural things, I will give you those natural things back and even more, says God. For you will not walk in dependence upon the natural, but upon my spirit. And my spirit is greater, greater, greater than that which is natural. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Amen. Let's quote our favorite Bible verse together, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. And we've been talking about the revolution of faith that Jesus brought. And one of the reasons to give thanks to God is not only does He always lead us in triumph, but He leads us in triumph in faith. God has made you as a human being, particularly as a born-again person. He has created you to live by faith. The Bible says Old and New Testament. Paul quotes it, I think, twice or three times in the New Testament, but quotes the Old Testament and says, the just shall live by faith. That means everything we do, every thought, every motion, every activity, we should live that by faith in Almighty God. And we're going to talk about that today. Some of the things that we've talked about is that religion practices knowing about God without ever having contact with Him. And say, I feel sorry for Christians. And Debbie and I have been talking about it off and on this week. But people say, well, I know God. Well, what do you know about Him? Huh? What? You know, we know. The problem is a lot of times we know things about God. We know the right doctrine. We know the right theology. But do you know God? Do you know the author of the book, or have you just read the book? I mean, oh, man, I'm not going to go there because I'd get me off on a big bunny trail. But religion practices knowing about God without ever having contact with Him. Christianity is a contact life. The righteous shall live by faith. You cannot have faith in what you don't know. If you don't know God, it's hard to have faith in Him. It's hard to believe that God will keep His promises if you don't know who He is. It's hard to trust God to meet your needs if you don't know who He is. So you've got to know God in order to have a firm faith in Him. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Again, God has created you to live, created mankind to live by faith. Now, we talk about Abraham, and we call him the father of our faith, but we call him that because he believed God before circumcision. He believed God before the law came. Now, this is crucial because he had faith in God before circumcision, before the law. The Bible tells us in Romans 4 that the circumcision was a seal of his faith. It's like coming to church ought to be a seal of your faith and confidence in Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, for most of us, church is optional. And, you know, the world, you say, well, you don't need to go to church to be saved. I agree. You don't need to come to church to be born again or to know who God is. But here's the question. The world looks at you when you aren't in church, when you aren't assembling yourselves together, the world questions how much you really believe God. It's hard to lead people to Christ if you're not following Him. Okay, good preaching. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But isn't that true? Woody always says it this way. It's hard to follow a parked car. You know, have you ever seen a dog chase a parked car? No. I mean, all they do is run into it, and they say, well, that was a stupid thing to do. But as Christians, isn't it funny? We want to witness about Jesus. We want to get people to follow us. And it's like, I guess one of the best ways to illustrate this is just out of my personal knowledge. We've had families in the church, their kids beg mom and dad to take them to church, beg them. Mom and dad will take them to every ball game, every school activity, everything that they want to go to, every park, every outing. We want to be there for our kids, and we want to be sure that they grow up and enjoy life. And the kid's begging them to come to church, and the parents say, oh, I want to sleep in today. What kind of a witness does that leave children when they want to be at church and the parents don't want to come? It's not a good witness. The just shall live by faith. You cannot have faith in what you don't participate in and what you're not involved in. It's hard to have faith in those things because you're still on the outside looking in. Okay, moving on. Abraham's a father of our faith. John 8:39, this kind of sums it up. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. If we're going to call Abraham our father, the father of our faith, and we ought to do what Abraham did. Well, what did Abraham do? He believed God. He sought God out. He pursued after God to discover who he was. Well, we've been dealing with the question for several weeks now, what are the works of Abraham? And again, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Abraham walked by faith. Again, he walked by faith before the circumcision, before the law came from Moses. He chose to walk in faith. He just believed God. Well, what did he believe? Whatever God told him. See, he believed by revelation. They didn't have a book. He couldn't turn to Abraham 4, verse 7. You know, it didn't exist. So much of what we know, Abraham experienced, and these things were written down for us, for our benefit, that we could understand what was going on. And yet all we do is, well, I believe Father Abraham. Say, well, if you believe him, you'll do what he did, right? Well, I don't know if I want to do what he did. Well, then he's not your father. That's what Jesus is saying to the Jews that were questioning him. They said, well, we have Abraham as our father. And he said, if Abraham were your dad, you would do what he did. Do what he done. You would do the same things as Abraham. Now, I want to emphasize that because I want to show you a few things, and then I want to get to the meat of this. Go to Romans chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 16. I said 17 last week, but we're going to start in verse 16 just to get a running start. It says, therefore, it is of faith. I'm going to read 16 through 22 and then go back and look at the verses. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He was way past retirement age. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now go back to verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Why did God set up this faith system? Because if it was works, there are some things that you can do that I can't do. There are some things I can do that you can't do. So if we would, this is why we get into comparisons with other people. Well, they just didn't do that right. Well, you may be able to do that exactly right, but they may not be able, but they can probably do a few things that you can't do at all. So if you compare yourself, you're comparing apples and oranges, and it becomes a status symbol. You're born into the right class. Have you ever heard that? Well, you were raised in church. You know all about God. Well, that's part of our problem, is we were raised in church. We were raised in a religion that didn't know God and was threatened. If anybody in church got to know who God was, they were soon exited from the fellowship because we don't want your kind here. Remember how many synagogues Jesus was run out of? You know, well, he knew the Father. And he didn't do anything wrong. And they got upset with him because he healed on the Sabbath. What a day for someone to be set free on the Lord's Day. When we're all together worshiping God and glorifying him, the last thing we want is our service to be disrupted by somebody getting free. I mean, that's just horrible that someone would come to church and get healed. That's just not right. But it was right with God, the Father, and it was right with Jesus. Jesus got into trouble because when they're going through the fields, his disciples, again on the Sabbath, they took their hands along some of the grain, and they took some grain off in their hand, and they ate it. And that was considered working. And they condemned them because they worked on the Sabbath. Know how Jesus responded? Didn't you hear about David? David went into the Holy of Holies, or into the tabernacle, and into the holy place in the tabernacle, and he took the showbread off the table that was consecrated to the Lord and gave it to his men so that they wouldn't die of famine because they were on the run. He says he did that, and his heart was after the Lord. Remember when Jesus said, "What is before you is greater? I'm greater than all these people that you revere." But he said something also odd about religious people. You build tombs for the people that your fathers killed. Don't we do that? Dwight L. Moody was called rebellious. He was called a hypocrite, or not a hypocrite, heretic, because he found John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Dwight L. Moody rediscovered that verse. And he was condemned as a heretic, and everyone said he's wrong because God's angry with the world, and God's mad at the world, and God's going to judge the world. And he comes out and says God loves the world. And he says he loves the world because if he didn't, you could never get born again. You could never be saved if God doesn't love the world. But at his funeral, all his critics came out. Oh, he was a great man of God. We learned so much off him. What? You waited until the man died before you said he was right. Why? Because that way I'm not held accountable. So many of us, oh, I believe in Jesus. Well, what do you believe? Well, I believe the things. See, we cherry pick. We pick the things that Jesus said that we like, that make us feel good. Oh, I believe in this. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, I believe. Well, what about this other scripture? Oh, I don't believe that. Well, then you don't believe God. Oh, it's quiet. See, you can't cherry pick the Bible. You have to, if you're going to believe God, you've got to accept all of it as God intended it to be heard and read and understood. And you've got to get revelation. Well, this is how Abraham was. Therefore, it is of faith, and it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. See, if it's by works, some of us will get it and some of us won't. If it's by faith, every single one of us can get it. Because it's not based on what family you were born into. It's not based on your income level. It's not. See, some of the people that I have seen that are the greatest in faith were rebels, radicals, outsiders, non-church people, brought up non-religious, and they got born again and they got radically saved because they know what it is to come out of darkness into light. If you're raised up in a denomination or in a typical church, you think you already know God. You think you're already born again. So when you do get converted, nothing a whole lot changes on the outside. And because there isn't a radical change required, we don't pursue the change of the heart that God has planned for us. And so therefore, we keep on living about the same way we do. The only difference is we go to church. Maybe we might raise up a hand. We might worship the Lord a little bit more intense. But for all intents and purposes, nothing has radically been changed in our life because we thought we lived pretty good beforehand. The Bible says about that, we're all sinners. All of us are sinners. See, the problem with religious people, they don't really celebrate salvation because they don't understand it because they weren't in darkness. Oh, but they are. They are in darkness. Until you realize that, you won't appreciate the salvation of God. Amen? So it's by faith, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God. Now listen, in the presence of God whom Abraham believed, and this is what Abraham believed, who gives life to the dead and calls things, those things which do not exist as though they did. Now this is an awesome thing. Abraham believed in the God who gives life to the dead. Say, well, yeah. Okay, now, but if you're going to have Abraham as your father of faith, then we must believe like him, or should believe like him, that God gives life to the things that are dead. Now, that takes in the new birth, but it also takes in all the other things that are dead, that have no life in them, in us. Abraham believed in the power of God over the dead things of this present age. See, once you come to God, the ways of the world just aren't right anymore because they're dead. The works of men are dead works. The government of men is dead works. I say that because of this. You've got dead men creating a government system that operates with dead people in it. That's why the kingdom of God is so different from what the world is. God called us into the kingdom to take over, not to just get along with everybody. And that radical change of personal government means I've got to obey God rather than men. Well, if men had really great systems going and everything worked well with them, why would you need to obey God rather than men? Because I can come back at you and say, well, but the Bible says to submit to all authority. Well, yes, you should submit to all authority until it contrasts or comes against the kingdom of God. But when it comes to man or God, we've got to obey God. Boy, that'll bring some persecution. I love you, brother, but I'm going to serve Jesus. And the problem is we use that so often in the wrong way. I'm going to do what I want to. Oh, I hate it when Christians tell me, but God told me. When it's opposed to the word of God. When it's opposed to cooperating with other people. Oh, but God told me. You know, we like to cloak our rebelliousness in a cloud of glory. Because you can't hold me accountable. Oh, I could. I don't have enough fingers and toes or anything else to count the number of times people have said, but God told me. I said, yeah, you heard something, but I don't know if it's God. Because if it's God, it will not violate his word. Neither will it violate his principles. Now get this. The Bible says faith works by love. So if love is not involved in it, is it of God? No. But I've heard so many people, God told me he's going to judge you. And I'm thinking, man, there is no hope. There is no escape. We heard a prophet on TV the other day, and they were talking about how the wrath of God is in the process of being poured out. And boy, and he's talking to the church, you better get yourselves right, or you're not going to heaven, and you're going to lose your salvation, blah, blah, blah. And all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, man, I'm feeling like I'm need to repent too, because I'm listening to the guy that said I thought I was going in the flow of God, but boy, not in your flow. You know, you got to buy the survival kits. Why? Because God's going to wreak havoc on the world because God is angry. Well, there is a time when God's wrath will be poured out. I don't think this is the time. And I hear, we were listening to Billy Brim's Autumn Glory over the weekend. Man, the message is God is not done yet. God has got glorious things. He's turning the nation around. There's going to be a cloud. There's going to be a glory poured out on the earth. Now, how do you have two contrasting visions? Well, one is of God and one isn't. One is based on the fear of what we see going on around us and not based on the character of God. Okay, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I don't want to do that. Jesus said, now the thing, remember, Abraham believed in the power of God over the dead things of this present age. Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Abraham saw the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He saw it. he began to grasp hold of that. If God is powerful enough to raise Jesus from the dead, who was crucified, God can do anything. So if there's something going on in my life that isn't in line with the Word of God, God can bring that dead thing to life. God can breathe into that dead thing life. The things that I'm willing to give up on. Can you imagine being 100 years old and still waiting for the promise of God you're going to have a child? I'm 100 years old. Man, I can hardly walk from my couch to the door. How am I going to have a baby? How? And Sarah laughed, you know. But Abraham, while he's going to the door, just struggling to get to the door. I don't believe he was doing that. But as he went to the door, I shouldn't say that because I don't believe that. But as Abraham was going to the door, he believes God can bring the dead things to life. His wife is saying, "You think you're going to have a kid?" He goes, "Yeah." God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. So they're going around, "Who are you?" "I am Abraham." "Ooh, father of many nations. I bet you got a passel of kids and probably 100 grandkids from that passel of kids. How many children do you have? Where are they all living?" "Well, my son is still on the way. But your name is Abraham." I mean, they either thought he was a lunatic or he had faith in a God that they did not know. See, there's things going on in your life right now that you're ready to give up on, and God wants to breathe new life into it. Oh, you missed a chance to shout on that one. There's things that you're struggling with that God says, "It ain't over yet. Have faith in me. The just shall live by faith." Faith believes that God breathes life into dead things and makes them alive again. Hallelujah. See, he turns the things that of this world around. That's why you have to walk by faith. Because if you walk by sight, if you walk by the things you see in this world, what you see is. God calls those things that are not as though they are. See, Jesus said, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." Abraham believed in the God who calls those things that do not exist as though they did. Abraham is busy watching the Spirit of God while everybody else is watching the things in the world. See, I can prophesy now off the daily news and all the reports, and I could quote prophesy, and I could tell you what the newspapers are saying. "We are doomed. God has given up on us. He has forsaken the nation. He has done all that." I want to tell you, until God pulls the trigger, he has not given up. You missed another good chance to shout. I mean, until God says it's, you know the old saying, "It's not over till the fat lady sings." Well, it's not over till God says it's over. Until then, God is still the same God, and he breathes life into those dead things, and he calls things that are not as though they are. Too much, quote, prophecy today is calling the things that are as though they are. And they're getting worse. You know, "You think it's bad now, saith the Lord God. The worst times are coming ahead. You better stock up." It's like, well, if the worst times are coming ahead, why stock up? I mean, you know, it's just, what is the point? I'm not saying don't plan ahead for floods and different things. I'm just saying, we're trying to save our natural life when God is trying to save our spirit life. Yeah. You're all going to die. Yeah. Sometime we're going to lay this body down, hopefully in many, many years from now. But whatever you store up in this life is temporary. And we've got people, prophets, that are prophesying only temporary things. They're not prophesying the eternal things from the heart of God. He says, God calls those things that do not exist as though they did. Abraham is busy watching the Spirit of God. He doesn't have time. When he goes up on the mountain with Isaac, he goes up there and say, "Well, where's the sacrifice?" God will provide. He's looking into the realm of the supernatural. He knows God has told him, "You go up on the mountain and you sacrifice your son." So what does he say? God will supply. And he tells his servants, most people miss this, he tells his servants, "Me and the boy will return." As he goes up the mountain to kill him, "Me and the boy will return." That is faith. Because what? He's already seen the day of Jesus. He's already seen the dead raised to life in the spirit, in the supernatural realm. He said, that is the God I worship. Not the God who orders me to kill my son. If he orders me to kill my son, he'll give him back. See, most Christians believe if I have to give up something, I have lost it. And you'll never get it back. But before every resurrection, there is a dying. And if you are willing to die to yourself, Christ will live in you in greater measure. See, Abraham saw these things. Now, he had some learning experiences to go through, but at the same time, he saw this, and his faith in God was greater than what he saw in the world. Because he's looking in the spirit realm. He's looking at the things of God. How many of us, when you see things going on or hear things going around you, that you're so motivated by the natural world that God has no access to get into your situation? Because you are consumed with the news. You are consumed with the medical report. You are consumed with all the bad things that are going on in the world. They just overwhelm you. You're consumed with the flesh, with the carnal things. And Abraham saw Jesus being raised from the dead. I tell you, that beats every carnal thing hands down. Do you know what you've got to do when you raise somebody from the dead? Now think about this. Andrew Womack talks about his son was dead for 5 hours. He said when he went to his son, he was in a cooler. They had a toe tag on him. He was blue. And God said, speak to him. And he called his son back from the dead. He said his wife has died. And he's brought her back from the dead too. Jesus was dead for 3 days. Now think about this. He had holes in his hands, holes in his feet, and a spear thrust into his heart. Now if you think raising somebody from the dead is easy, here's one for you. You can't do that without faith. When Abraham saw the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and saw God raise him from the dead, nothing was impossible for God. He saw that. If God is able to renew a heart, put the blood back in the body, heal the wounds, and raise the man up, then God is greater than death. Jesus, the Bible tells us, defeated death. And we're still living like death is in charge. We're still living like we get one report. We're like the 10 spies. We go into the land that God promised to give us, and we see giants. Oh, man, there's giants in the land. Caleb and Joshua said, we're well able to take them because God is with us. We can do this thing. Most people say, Joshua, are you nuts? Did you see the giants? He said, did you see the grapes we brought back? I mean, this is a blessed land. This is the land God wants to give us. It's a land of blessing. But there's giants. In other words, there's obstacles. Well, who's greater? The obstacle or God? See, you got to make this choice. God told us last week, you've got to make a choice about what's coming, because if you don't make a choice and you put it off too long, it's going to be harder to make. But if you make the choice now to serve God, when the hard times come, you won't have to make the decision. And it'll be so much easier, and you'll just walk in the flow of the Spirit of God. Why? Because you're already there. But we're waiting for the crisis to erupt before we prepare. But I'll tell you, you've got to prepare, because preparation makes the way for the anointing to operate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness, is it that late? Hallelujah. Abraham's watching the Spirit of God. Now listen, because the things that God is calling that do not exist, they do exist in the Spirit because they exist in God. Now think about that. God created everything. We call him the Creator. God created everything. So everything we need is already in God. And if God is in us, everything we need is already resident within us, because the Creator himself lives in us. Therefore, what you believe that you speak, if you believe and speak, you will have those things that you say. Whoa, that's radical. I mean, we're talking about a revolution of faith. Jesus said the kingdom of God is present. Well, brother, we know one of these days. No, he said it's present. Yeah, brother, we know one of these days in the sweet by and by. No, it's not by and by. It's now. It's right here. It's today. If you believe and speak, you will have those things that you say. Well, Lord, I just can't believe that. Well, then you don't believe God. And that's why when you do try it, it doesn't work, because you don't believe God. Ouch. Because see, if you believe and say it, it'll come to pass. Now, here's another reason why we miss this, is because we think it'll come to pass instantly. Well, sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes God gets other things ordered in order for it to come to pass and work. So sometimes what we're believing for is dependent on other people. I heard, I forget who this was, but there was a word of the Lord over a minister here several years back. And the minister was saying, but Lord, I've been believing for this for a long time. And finally, I got this thing that I was believing for. And he said, I talked to three other people to give it to you, and they all refused. See, some things we're believing for involves others. And if they refuse to cooperate, see, God's setting them up for a blessing if they'll humble themselves and do what God's told them to do. They're getting ready for a blessing. But if they don't believe God, they're going to miss the blessing because they won't be obedient to God. And it hinders the assembly of the brethren because we're not all working together. Because we're busy looking at the natural things. Well, if I give this up, what is it going to cost me? No, if you give that up, you're putting yourself in a place to be abundantly blessed. But see, we always look at our lack instead of God's abundance. The just shall live by faith. Abraham, now get this, Abraham had a revelation of Yahweh who will provide. It was on the mountaintop with his son Isaac. He got the revelation or spoke the revelation. I think he already had it, that God is Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh is a neat name of God. It means God has already seen your need, and before you became aware of the need, he made provision to meet it. How do you do that? Well, he's God. You know, he knows the end from the beginning. Hello? So he knows our need. Listen, Jesus, God didn't come up with the Jesus and the sacrifice when Adam sinned. See, God does not react to the natural conditions. God makes provision before anything ever happens. Why? Because he's got all the bases covered. So before Adam sinned, the Bible says Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world. Before anything ever happened, before we died in sin, God has already made preparation to raise us from the dead. See, this is the kind of God that Abraham saw. This is why he's the father of our faith. He saw what most people consider impossible. He saw those things. He said, I'm going to believe in that God. See, his family, I'm about ready to end, his family worshiped the moon. The moon is nothing more than a reflection. The only way we can see the moon is if the sun is shining on it and we see the reflected light. But if the sun is not striking the moon, it's just, you don't even notice it's there. They worship the reflection. Religion worships the reflection. Most people worship the reflection because if you look at the sun, it will blind you. It will burn your eyes out. No man has seen the face of God and lived. Why? Because God is so bright. But here's the neat thing. Abraham saw God's face. Moses saw God's face. Now, how can natural man not look at God except it kill them? And you've got Abraham and Moses that have seen the face of God and survived. Because the just shall live by faith. And when you walk by faith, the grace of God is on you. When the grace of God is on you, now I can look at the face of God and it won't kill me. Because I'm the same kind. If I'm you take a fish out of water, he'll die. You put a fish in the water and he'll live. He'll be just happy as a fish, I guess. But why is that right? Because he's in his element. Now you put me underwater, you hold me down there for a couple hours, I'm going to drown. I'm out of my element. I can't survive. If an unregenerated man or a non-faith person would look at God, they will die. But if a born-again person, we can walk and come boldly into the throne room of God, that you can obtain grace and mercy in the time of your need. See, we can come boldly into his throne room. Why? We're the same kind. You can be taken to the hospital, and they can say, "Woo, woo, we got, it could be this, it could be that, it could be this, it could be that." But we got the glory of God. Isn't this cool? This is who God is. And there's so many people, because we ask so often, well, how can they believe God and serve God all of their life? How could this bad thing happen to them? Well, to be real blunt, they may be good people, solid people. I'm not complaining about that at all. I would not disagree with you a bit. But you don't live by those things. You live by faith. You live by faith. And what you don't have faith in, how do I say it? Yeah, it doesn't work for you. I'm thinking of Job. He said, "The things that I have feared have come upon me." Well, if you're not walking in faith, you're walking in fear. And too often the fear, the natural things around come upon you, because particularly as you get older, how many of you have had this thought, Pastor, I don't want to get Alzheimer's. I don't want to fall and break my hip. Well, what starts on the inside of you is a fear. And that, how do I say this? Faith attracts the blessings of God. Fear attracts the things that you fear. That's why the just shall walk by faith. Faith calls things that are not as though they are. Why? Because faith is busy looking at the power of God and looking at the grace of God and the glory of God and the goodness of God. So I'm looking at the God who calls things that are not as though they are. While the whole world is calling things that are as though they are, or some Christians, we're trying to call things that are as though they're not. I'm not sick. I'm not sick. Yeah, you are. You know, if they take you to the hospital, guess what? You're sick. You got issues going on. Well, I'm not sick. I'm not sick. No, what you need to see is God, even if he has to, we sang it this morning, I will live, I will not die. That's what you need to be saying. I will not die, 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 because Christ is in me, the hope of glory. He calls the dead things to come to life. He calls the things that are not as though they are. And you got to make up your mind. Now, if you want to go home, go home. But I'm just saying, you don't have to go home sick. I believe we can. Jesus said, no man takes my life, it is mine to lay down and mine to pick up. Hallelujah. See, Abraham believed God. And he believed God at such a deep level that when Jesus came in with his revolution of faith, he's saying, this is how you ought to believe. And he said, well, we have Abraham as our father. He said, oh man, if Abraham were your father, you would do the works of Abraham. And we immediately start thinking, now what did Abraham do? He moved away. He went over here. He did this. No, he's talking about in the spirit. In the spirit, Abraham believed God. In the spirit, Abraham trusted God more than anything he could see or sense or feel. He believed the power of God who gives life to the dead. Therefore, he could know there is nothing impossible for God. See, his confidence was in God, not in him, not in himself. Oh, we'll get into this more. Is this good? We're going to get into some things. And next week will be week 4 on this one message. I tell you, but we're just following the Lord on this. Amen. So you better stand up, because I don't have quit in me today. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, we give you praise that you have given us faith. Your word in the New Testament says we have the faith of Christ, the faith of Jesus in us. You have given that to us in the new birth. And we thank you, God, you've given every one of us the ability to believe as Abraham believed, to believe as John believed, to believe as Peter believed, to believe in you, God, the God of the resurrection, the God of life over death, the God of forgiveness over sin, the God who calls the things that are not as though they are, that breathes life into those things that are dead. Father, this is who you are, and this is who we believe and have placed our trust in. that you are greater than the things that we can see or sense or feel or hear. And we thank you, Father, that you have brought us into this realm by the new birth. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. God bless you.